Hello everyone, welcome to Gypsy Land. I am your host, the Black Gypsy, and we have some exciting information for you all. Hodgepodge, you know, we've talked about the moon and the planets for the last couple of segments, but this is a bonus for everyone. I have Noor here, who is a multifaceted guy. He is one of my nearest friends, and he helps me with all of my production work. And I will let him introduce himself.
Hi, everybody, and thank you for having me here, Black Gypsy. My name is Noor, and I am the CEO of Symphonic Planet and director of Cookie Monster Media, and I work also freelance as a composer, touring musician, and filmmaker.
You heard that. So if you, well, I can't say he's looking for more clients because I think he's full.
Well, you keep me busy, so.
Yes, man, because you're so talented and so good with a lot of stuff, you know, like my music videos. Everybody's like, when are you going to release Going All the Way? And I'm like, well, I'm not about to release it yet, but soon, very soon.
And that was fun. That was a good time.
Oh, it was
quite an adventure as well. I think every production with you has been quite an adventure. you don't disappoint, that's for sure.
Neither production has ever been the same.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm going to adjust my camera here for a second. Here, okay, cool.
What kind of microphone are you using?
This is it's an interesting microphone. It's an Aventone mic. This has a unique ability to record stereo and two directions. So there's a microphone on top and there's a microphone on the bottom. If I just switch, turn the capsule, and it uses an interesting a box that requires two XLRs if I want to use both of them. So this microphone's especially interesting for either an ensemble, drums, or if you have two singers on either side. And you can have them sing together. So it's also, I didn't even think about it, it could actually be fun for a podcast, but it's a fun mic. And then I have a kind of a knockoff version of a Chaotica Eyeball. And this thing, I really love using these things for untreated sound environments. And my studio's a little bit more treated, but definitely these things are super helpful, for all sorts of reasons. But it's a little too big, so you won't see my face, you'll see the ball.
I like that. It's a nice microphone.
It's a very good microphone. I really like this. It's a big money maker for me, so I'm really grateful to have this piece of equipment amongst other ones. I have a lot of toys in the studio.
I see. That's really cool. So, tell me, let's shift gears here. So tell me about, what do you know about the moon and the planets and in relation to them?
Well, I would say that, I spent a lot of time in the sound healing industry. And around a lot of quantum healers and spiritual people that the community that really is very invested, and any knowledge pertaining to that. I will be honest, I am not the most well versed, but I do have a couple things, up my sleeve when it comes to the science behind it's some of the universe, but it's one of my favorite subjects. I wish that I spent more time on. But I used to be really big into astrology when I was younger, especially when it came to like dating and romance, because I wanted to know if I was compatible with other people. and then some things kind of shed a different light on how I viewed you know, viewed zodiac and astrology and other topics, you know, that relate to it.
That is really cool. So I think you are a subject matter expert in mixing and mastering.
I am more on the creative side. The mixing and mastering, I kind of just picked up the basic skills as needed in order to provide for my clients. Honestly, my business partner Jonas Peterson is, to me, the, you know, the god and the master, the maestro. Especially, he has the accolades and the experience and the he has the biggest awards in it in Hollywood for this kind of thing, and of the world. But I have my hand in, you know, a couple buckets here with mixing. I do consider myself more of a producer and a composer. I try to say this conceptual term, I'm a storyteller, mainly because the avenues in which I produce, art is storytelling to me. So any means for me to be able to create that art and to deliver and to share, I'm invested in that.
I definitely think you are very talented when it comes to storytelling, because I can't wait for the story of Wario. It's going to be an interesting one. Who all have you all worked with?
Please continue.
As far as, I guess, you know, big brands, you know, names.
Sure. I've been very fortunate to have lived a few different lives already, and my upbringing, I was introduced to a lot of very legendary jazz musicians. I grew up in a very musical family, and my father was very respected by very well-known jazz musicians. And when I served in the U.S. military as a Marine, a musician particularly, and that got me around the block too. And when I made my way to Los Angeles, there's just so many names. It'd be like a movie title credits, ending credits list of people. And I mean, it's also part of the nature of things when you're very passionate about what you do and you're a part of the industry, the networking and then where that road leads you, you know, crosses paths with a lot of people. I've had the blessed opportunity to work with and provide services with, like, Jacob Collier, who I think has 4 Grammys or 5 Grammys now. I've worked in tandem with Beyonce's band. I've played with multiple Grammy winners, Bakiti Kumalo, who's famous from Paul Simon, and you know, good friends. I've worked with with Vogue magazine on sets. I've done a couple movies. I've won a couple awards. Producing. I was kind of like sometimes neck to neck, or the guy behind a lot of like musicians and supporting them. Whether if it's in music or if it's in artist relations, like with the Rolling Stones, there's a lot of names I myself have been fortunate to be in the room at, or either performed. I think one name, one of the someone who I considered a big mentor of mine for a while is Tracy Carter. He's a multi-nominated Grammy award-winning producer and performer. He's also known for playing keys with Chaka Khan, and he was Grammy nominated for Gangsta Lean back in the day. Mm. I played with LV. I did a New Year's thing with him. LV, he's known for Gangster's Paradise, right? We had a great Donny Hathaway tribute concert we did with Stevie Wonder's guitarist, Yogi. I can go on and on and on, but and I'm very fortunate that the people that I got to work with that are respected in that industry are, you know, very down to earth people and very good people to be around, especially where there's just a high concentration of great people, or people who are, I would say, lost in the sauce and may also have a pretty tainted reputation as well. So I think a lot of it also has to do with, you know, the energy you put out and what you attract, and what you attract for yourself, you know, comes back to you. So that was definitely an interesting period of my life, and to be, you know, it was a normal, my normal was kind of like a weekly thing, being surrounded by someone that was kind of a celebrity, and you know, I myself was engaged to an Asian celebrity who was under Jack Johnson's label, you know, in another lifetime. So that was my introduction to that world.
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, yeah, that's really cool. And it just so happens that we end up connecting with each other during the dark days.
But aren't those the best days when you look back and you think that, you know, those are the dark days? You know, you hear people talk about, like, misery loves company sometimes, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because then you find others who are trying to climb out of a hole just like yourself, and you make friends for life in many of those cases, and that's where you learn the most on how to tell the difference between what is better and what is not, and what you want for yourself, and you can recognize good people through that. I think if it wasn't for some of the really dark and tough days in Los Angeles, I would have not found a calling. I wouldn't have started a company that would become successful. Those were where you have two choices. You either let life beat you down, or you create life for yourself. Mm. And you know, one thing I think, and I mean, Hollywood taught me this, but I think life, looking back, I think my whole trajectory of life since I was brought onto this earth was this one lesson, is that, or at least an observation, that every story to whatever is important to you, to attaining whatever is important to you, happens. And I think if we accept that everyone wants success overnight, some people get success over 20 years, some people write a script and nobody wants to read it, and they try for 10 years and then it gets picked up, you know, and everything, you can't control time, you can't control when the evolution of success happens, and when you get to that point, a lot of times, sometimes it may be exactly what you expect, or it's not what you expect, and then you realize that that's just a new beginning for you every time you reach a goal, because then you see how much, you can't see how much further you're gonna go, where you can go, but you can definitely see the opportunities that you want to attain, because you know, it's like embodied in your body. You feel that not only may you be more capable, but now it's a part of your life, of just keeping, you know, moving forward. You don't think about that, you just do it, because that's your new normal, right? That's your new, you know, it's the new muscles that you've developed, and you keep lifting.
Do you think we're so dynamic because of the military, or even if we didn't do the military, we would still be dynamic?
Well, I think that is up to you. I think it is the person. It depends on what you decide to get out of it. I have some brothers and sisters that, they're happy where they are, but their personality, you know, doesn't, they don't imagine something else different for them, because that's their reality and that's their love. I'm gonna take my glasses off. That's what they want. But there's some that realize that they can take the skills and the things they've learned from the military and become dynamic and create their own path. But also sometimes, you know, there are those who have no transferable skills, because they went in so young and they don't, transitioning to the civilian world, to what I call default world. I call it default. It's also a Burning Man term. We call it default world, because that is the real world. But I mean, your culture, the culture that you decide to be a part of, is your reality. It is your lifestyle. And you know, I think it's entirely dependent on the person, what path they're gonna choose. And all their choices leads to, if they are going to be a dynamic, member of society or not. I think for you and I, we have taken the things that we love and we hate, and we've either learned from them, or if we've applied them, that has served us or haven't served us, in a time moving forward. I don't know, maybe you feel the same way, but there is not a day that goes by that I don't think about my time in service, whatever happened in it. It either haunts you, but it follows you wherever you go. It's a part of you, even if you want to try to deny it. And some people are good at that, but I think that it took me a few years to probably regain, or at least find out who I was again. I think getting out, my identity was kind of like a clean slate. There was Nor inside of me somewhere, but the person that came in didn't come out the same. And finding, you know, honoring and finding the authenticity of who you are coming out of the service is an extremely difficult process. And I think it's very difficult for a lot of people to even understand that. And each person coming out of service can relate to the process, but it's hard sometimes. I feel like sometimes it's hard to relate to the journey that particular individual has to go through, because you don't know how they come out. But for those who do come out, they serve the world in many aspects. I mean, we have so many, either politicians, CEOs, entrepreneurs, artists, people that have stories to tell, and problems they see that need to be fixed that are working for them, and they make a change, and it moves us forward, you know, as humans. And I think that's pretty amazing, because military does give you the discipline, but it can also have the ability to close your mind. And I think that is the real challenge, is to open your mind. We're so used to making decisions on the fly or taking orders, and not thinking for ourselves. And then we get out into the default world, and now we have to think for ourselves, and that is something they didn't train us to do. Now, fortunately for me, You know, I grew up in a household of a lot of mental conditioning and kind of an introduction to the world and geopolitics and different philosophies and different religions and different cultures. And I went to college first before I went to the service. So I came in with my mind, you know, more made up and with skills that would help me keep myself together, at least, you know, at least my identity for that matter. I didn't completely lose myself. You know, but we've got, you know, we've got kids that come out and they lost 4, 8 years, maybe even 20 years, and they don't know how to think any differently. And you know, it's, I can't say it's a good or a bad thing, because that's just what happens. That's what it is. But I will say, to answer your question, because I was talking tangents, that I think for you and I, it served us to be dynamic people. And I think it has helped us appreciate and value things that possibly the average person doesn't even consider, unless you're from a country that doesn't have the luxuries that are, you know, that our society has to offer in North America.
Yeah, that's definitely something that can be interpreted as it creates or it enhances your dynamic abilities, you know. So, because I just knew before I joined the military, because I'm one of those people that just left school. I left and I finished school. Then after that, I left and was like, okay, it's time to join the military. My mother, she signed me up at 16. I drafted out at 17.
Oh, wow. Oh, my
so
goodness.
I was just ready to go. Because my life, before the military, it was just awful. Because I was living with rats and roaches, and just, it was just a miserable life. So I was like, do I want to fight and defend my country, or do I want to stay in this hellhole for the rest of my life? So
do you feel
I
like
to defend my country and
Do you feel like, I mean, were those your reasons to join, was to go somewhere where you thought was better than where you were in? And
anywhere was better.
Anywhere was better? And then was it better for you? I'm just curious.
Much better.
Mm-hmm.
It changed my life. It changed my life. I was able to explore different countries. I was able to think outside the box more. But it also gave me discipline.
That it does. It does give that.
But you know, no matter how much discipline it gives me, I just never can seem to keep my spaces clean, like very spick and
clean.
Oh
my gosh. I
used to fail.
We had to keep our
unset shipmate.
It's like we could, I don't know, maybe this is the same for you, but back in the Marines, you had to keep your dorm or your barracks room look like a hotel room at all times. And then when you get out, you're like, I don't want to clean ever again. Using Clorox wipes, I'm hiring.
That's why I don't like to clean.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to hire me a a housekeeper.
Yeah. No, I'm guilty of leaving a lot of dishes. Will you come down here? Housekeeper is, you know, 15 US bucks to clean the house for the day.
Dang. Mm. Is that what you all do?
Yeah, I have a house cleaner that comes in once a week. Just for those you know, I'm currently living in Mexico. And I'm living it up, but so I couldn't do that in the States. That would cost me like $100-$200, but at least here, you know, pay 400 pesos and I get my house cleaned and you know, get that peace of mind. I still help out, but my cleaner does not touch my recording studio. That's my one condition. I handle that. So. There?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
It's cutting out a little bit.
But yeah. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear just fine.
Okay. Good. I see those drums in the back.
Yeah, I've got quite a bit in here. I've collected quite a few things. Here, I'll move the camera there. So, there's drums over here. There's actually two drum sets. And then piano, cello, a bunch of guitars. I got saxophone. Oh, wait. There you go. Saxophone, flute. So, got myself a bit of a studio here, and then I have the desk, and I have a 7.1 surround, you know, studio set up for Atmos. Yeah. Built myself a little workstation here.
Wow, if I come down there to record, man, that'd be great.
Yeah, you should. Keep trying to convince you to come down here. used to be down here too, in Cancun.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I enjoyed the food. You just gotta know where to go and what to eat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think you're saving more money than I am living here. it's a dangerous thing when you come with U.S. money and you feel like you can pay for the things that you couldn't have in the States, but then that money goes quick if you're not paying attention. You know, especially if you want to eat good food. And then you're like, wait a minute, I had a ton of money, where did it go? Man, I kept on eating all these places, so eventually you start learning how to be like a normal person out here, and then things get better.
So, let's, I guess, switch gears a little bit here. So, do you know what your moon sign is?
I am a Cancer, and apparently I'm a moon child, and I guess the year and the time I was born. I've read a lot about what that means, but I still don't understand, and I couldn't exactly remember. But, you know, according to astrology, I'm extremely nurturing and sensitive. You know, like in the military, you know, that kind of dries you out a little bit, so you can handle a little bit more right. Truth.
I want to look up your moon sign.
Okay.
So I'm doing this calculator right now, this astrological calculator. Right now, if I could find a good site to go to that I like. Here we go. Okay, so, whoa. Okay, your name is kind of crazy here. So, is it Noor Cherie?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Oh, okay. So I guess it's not that crazy. Maybe I just been seeing it for a while now, for many years. And I just know how to say it and spell it. Is it July
8th? July 8th, 1989.
Oh, you're younger than me.
Wow.
And your hour of birth?
1:01 a.m.
And where were you born?
Gainesville, Florida.
Gainesville, Florida. Okay, this is saying, here we go, your moon is in Virgo.
Really? So what is that supposed to mean?
I did a whole segment about moon signs. I haven't released it yet for my podcast on YouTube, but you'll know when you listen to the podcast.
All right. The segment. that's a good plug right there.
Because you know I'm a Virgo.
Ah, is that why we get along?
Probably so. Okay. Oh, but your ascendant is in Aries. That's interesting.
In what way?
That means you're dominant and you like certain things, certain ways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I can be stubborn like that for sure.
Right.
I think as we get older, it's easier to identify what we're stubborn about and what our ways are.
It's true, but with astrology, it could change your life by knowing a guide or a map to your personal self. You know, we didn't come with a guide or a map when we were born into this world.
True, but we did have our parents. Or at least we should.
Some of us had our parents. I was in a foster home.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Interesting.
See?
Well, you know what? But you know what? That's proof that you are a good person because you managed to learn values, you know, for yourself and through life. That should be like inspirational for other people that are giving excuses for, you know, because of, you know, our childhood plays a big part, you know, in our upbringing. But, you know, I think that should be a symbol of hope for those who struggle through the system, that some people, you know, have found ways to come out on top, right?
Right.
When people give up and they just give in to the system. Do you feel that way?
Right. That's why I definitely just couldn't, because I knew there was something greater out there for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I wanted to chase it and chase it and chase it until I came in contact with that something greater.
What was that something greater?
A life of happiness.
All right. That's important.
Happiness is very important. You know, I've done a podcast on happiness too. You could take a look at that or take a listen to that if you want.
Plug number two. Here we go. So do you... Sorry.
So do you have anything that you want to address? We talked about the moon signs. We talked about.
I what I have to say might be controversial.
Ooh, let's do it. I like a little controversy.
So, when I was into all of this astrology, I remember I met a astrophysicist who kind of threw science at me, like facts and science, and it definitely changed everything. Because at that moment, I was thinking about, you know, I was trying to live my life by astrology. It was a lot of fun. Every sign seemed to make sense, you know, to identify people. They share these qualities and these traits that is defined by, you know, by their zodiac and by their sign. And, you know, I believed in all these ancestral things, and it felt good, and it felt like it was giving me some purpose, until I got hit with the science, with something that was kind of irrefutable. And the Earth does this. So every, something like, from what I understand, about every like 2,000 years, the Earth trips up. It's called precessional wobble. And the Earth kind of wobbles on its axis. And what happens is that, because astrology was recorded based on the celestial sphere, where the positions of the stars are, right? But what happens when the position of the stars shifts over because the Earth, you know, trips up? Everything, you know, everything based on the time period, the celestial sphere shifts over, or, you know, another way. And depending on the time period and how updated astrology is, you know, I found out that luckily somehow I still fit within the Cancer, but some of my friends were actually not Cancers. They were Geminis or they were Leos. Even though if they were following astrology on what a book was saying, and, you know, it's important to, this person made it known to me, it was important to check to make sure it was updated, because astrology was recorded, you know, there was a precessional wobble that happened in the period that astrology became developed for the human conscious mind. And at that point, it made me really confused or question, and made it very, very difficult for me to, I can enjoy astrology, but my belief in it was certainly shaken, because at that point it made me think, well, I need to find something else to live my life by, and not rely on the stars to define what my personality is supposed to be and who I am or why I am the way I am. And when you get thrown some very difficult science and math at you, it's like shaking your faith. And what do you do when that happens? So, yeah, I decided that, you know, I will respect astrology, but I am not going to depend on that, because I have some friends that and as long as it makes you happy, then there's nothing to contest. You know, live your life the way, as long as it allows you to be a good person and you respect other people, then, you know, I got no problem with that. But when you rely on something that, you know, isn't serving you to be the best person you can be, then maybe you should, you know, it's, you gotta consider that a change, and maybe find some truth. And for me, that's what I had to do. I was definitely not I was secretly a very unhappy kid, and a person going through that. And I worked in the sound healing industry in Los Angeles for a long time, and people living by that. And all I saw was just ironies. There's an irony and a lot of these very hypocritical things happening. Because they weren't dealing with themselves first. They were trying to let, you know, the universe be an excuse for everything. And I decided that, you know, these things may make sense to me, but I also share qualities in Capricorn maybe, or in Virgo, or this, but, you know, to what percentage am I really a Cancer? And, you know, I've never ran into an astrology book. that answers like, that for me.
Well, that's why you have to really, know and trust in the universe, because God created the universe, and everybody tries to say stuff about God. They try to say stuff about everything or every belief that they seem like they can't prove.
So I think it's confusing that there's so many different, like I said earlier, that there's so many stories and so many paths that people have found their happiness or what they're looking for, what they wanted, whether if it's religion or if it's, you know, there are all kinds
even
of things.
Scientology.
Oh, even Scientology. Even, I don't know, if you are a vampire or if you're, you know, who knows?
I just did a topic on psychic vampires.
Oh, man, that's another jar to open there. Yeah, and so I think, I'll be honest, like, I grew up Muslim. My mom was Christian, and my dad was Muslim, but my dad, you know, made sure that I understood and I was exposed to other religions and other cultures, especially I'm a first-generation American. My parents were immigrants, and I had literally, like, a United Nations, you know, musical happening in my house. You know, my stepmom is Polish, my biological mother's from Venezuela, my dad's from Malaysia, my step family's from Nigeria. You know, it's like I'm just waiting for my mom to get kicked by a kangaroo so I can call myself Australian, you know. And I think it helped shape this kind of outside perspective on how things are. And and as I continued traveling and integrating immersing myself in these other cultures, and when I joined the service is when I left my faith was Islam. There's a lot of things I agreed with, and there's a lot of things I didn't. And mostly what I didn't agree with is the cultural things that were happening. But there are a lot of things I don't agree with this culture. How this culture manipulates or had interpreted the word of God to serve that their collective mission as a community. And some places it's great and some places it doesn't. And, you know,
Well, that's another topic there.
Oh, there's so many topics. But I think what I came down to is that in order for me to, I guess it goes with anything. If I was having a faith or belief in anything I wanted to follow, it came down to a very harsh thing that I was subconsciously doing was, you know, being honest with myself that I don't know the truth. And that may be okay. The one truth you need to, and there's, you know, well, I became agnostic to everything. You know, not Unitarian, but agnostic to everything, because it's like I hit a reset button and I got reborn again, and I don't know anything, but I had the abilities to question, to understand, and to rationalize, and to investigate, and discover who I am. And through that, I think the first question is that, you know, I don't know what the truth is, and I think that is the truth. Is that the first step is to being honest with yourself, really, really, really nastily, brutally honest with yourself. You know, what do you know? Do you really know? And, you know, someone I did not like growing up, he was, my biological mom's boyfriend. I don't like him at all, I'll be honest. It's hard for me to respect that person for what he stood for and the things that he did. But there was one thing he said to me that I think set, you know, the path for my life. And he said, if you want to know the truth about something, you have to go experience it for yourself. And I think that is one thing that sums up who I am. And that is my path.
Right.
You know, and that's why
good,
it made
man.
sense to let go of astrology and stuff, because I'm not letting these other things define who I am. I'm letting my experiences define who, what my truth is.
Right. Like, I had a disconnect with astrology before myself, but then when I died and came back, and just it showed me so many different things. I could read something, and that would be the divine. You know, the divine is using astrology to communicate with us. So that's what I definitely know. But I think we're out of time.
Oh yeah. Well, I was just say, you know, I admire I admire people who are able to develop a very strong connection to things related to faith or philosophy or ideals that brings them happiness. And I think perhaps maybe my path is, you know, maybe a little bit more treacherous on that that place. But I'm enjoying the fact that that there's an, you know, I get this opportunity for myself to see what else is out there, and why other people find, you know, their path and how they find happiness, because there's so many different people that and different cultures that have similar values under different flags, and I think it's a beautiful thing, and I want to see all of that so I can figure out for myself what is my path, so that I can
Well,
find
yeah,
that
because
place.
my mother taught me astrology, and then after my mama taught me astrology, it just took off from there because we were sad and lonely. And yeah, so to conclude this episode, let's talk about something, one thing that's positive in our lives and that we're happy for.
Wow. You know what? I think there's been a couple difficult things this week, but there are a couple things I'm pretty happy about. So I think one of
Just
the
one.
clients, just one, one of the our major client in Symphonic Planet in my company, we've written a lot of music for them, but it's been a pretty hush hush, right? Now and I just got the green light to share that music and to release it on all streaming, and I'm very excited about that.
Who's it
Because
going to be?
what do you mean, who's it gonna be?
The client.
Ooh, I'm under an NDA, I'm not allowed to say that publicly. But what I can say is that all the music that we've written for this platform, which is, I think, a lot of my best work, or well, sorry, I should say our best work, is going to be available to share, and you know, we're looking at over 100 songs. So coming up with a strategy and how to release it and how to share it and create buzz and to inspire people, and a lot of people that have been wanting, you know, I get messages from all around the world from people asking where they can find this music, because they can find it on social platforms, but they can't find it on Spotify because we didn't have the clearance to do it yet. Now we have finally the clearance, and you know, I feel proud that I can share all the hard work that we've done, you know, and just for my self gratification and my benchmark, you know, to feel like I did this, I followed through all the way to the end with this art. So I think it's a very big positive thing for me, and I can be more show than talk.
Well, I'm happy for you. My positive thing I don't know. I'm always pretty much positive and happy, so I'm trying.
Hey,
to
that
see
is a good thing to have. That's a good situation to be in. You know what? You don't have to think about what to be grateful for. You're just grateful and happy all the time. I think that's what we. Don't you think that's all what we all want to get to at some point?
Right.
Just life is good.
Nirvana.
Nirvana. All right.
Like, I like to use different things from different religions and beliefs and be like,
All right. I need a little some of that. So throw some of that over here.
You should be doing really well. You're doing really well for yourself. And I'm happy that you came onto my podcast.
Oh, my pleasure. Of course. You know, anything for you, man. Did we get disconnected there?
I like to end. No, not yet.
Okay, good.
Not yet. Okay. So, to sum it up, we've talked about a lot of different interesting topics. Each one of them could have been a podcast or an episode all on its own. But it's okay because we'll have other time to talk and we will record it and we will be able to listen to it forever unless YouTube goes away, which I don't see happening.
No, I don't think that's happening either. That thing will stand the test of time.
So, well, if you don't have any other closing remarks,
no, I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, and this was fun. And it makes me kind of want to look back at astrology again and, you know, see if there's any truth there for me still.
There's plenty of truth. The truth is in the stars. Because if he wants to talk science, we are all made of stardust.
That is true. I do know that for sure.
So, how can we not be part of the stars?
To be continued.
No. I love a good non-believer because I know what I witnessed and what I've seen with my own eyes. And I can vouch and say truthfully that astrology does exist.
What I believe is
you
that
just
this
gotta
moment
know how to use it.
That's true. I just know exact, like, I know the truth is right now this moment that we share with whatever you do. And what I do believe in terms of the stardust is that we are all part, the entire universe is made up of atoms, and we are made up of all of those atoms. And where each one of us are a walking galaxy in itself. And that is very true. And a part of us, you know, never dies. We are immortal human beings that travel the universe, you know, in the most microscopic ways.
Mm.
And we
That's
all
deep
live
right
a big
there.
Oh, you know.
Dang.
Let me get a couple drinks and then we'll go deeper.
Okay, I know, right?
But yes, thank you for having me, Quentin, and I enjoyed this.
Yes, I enjoyed it too. I mean, like, we actually have a lot of common interests and a common beliefs because when I say we are all made of stardust to a lot of people, they'll be like, what are you talking about? They think I'm being whimsical or something like that. And I'm really not being scientific. Scientifically speaking, it's the truth.
Yeah, that is very truth. That is something we all can believe in.
Well, part two.
All right.
Well, all right, Nor. You take care of yourself, and I hope you have a good day. And always remember to be as positive as you possibly can.
Thank you. Will do. And you too. Stay, don't change.
Let me stop. It's Christmas time, snowflakes fall, hear the gentle call, hearts aglow, in the night soft fall, whispers weep, in the cold night air, stars align, as we gather there, 'cause Christmas is that time of season where you don't need a reason to celebrate. Come on, it's time to celebrate. You and me, everybody celebrate. Come on, let's celebrate. Celebrate, warm embrace by the glowing tree, singing carols in sweet harmony. Fire crackles, stories oh we tell, magic moments as the snowflakes swell. 'Cause Christmas is that time of year where you don't need a reason to feel the cheer. Come on, it's time to celebrate. You and me, everybody. Celebrate, it's time to celebrate. You and me, it doesn't matter who you are, you should always feel like a star. You may not have a lot, just continue to all have a good heart. Believe that there's always something to celebrate. I may not get my wish, but I have all I need, so I celebrate in the spirit of peace.
Come on, it's time to celebrate.
Celebrate.
You and me.
You and me.
Everybody.
You and me.
Come on.
Celebrate.
Let's celebrate.
Celebrate.
You and me.